the Word of God for our meditation on this festival of the Annunciation is recorded in Luke chapter 1. We will hear select verses beginning at verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed, count ahead 9 months from today, March 25th. And what would be the date? Christmas Day, December 25th. Since the 5th century, the Christian Church has celebrated Annunciation Day to commemorate the angel's announcement to Mary that she would be the mother of the Christ child. This poses an interesting question. What if we shifted our Christmas celebration from December 25th to March 25th to have a little bit of the joyful Christmas season in the midst of this penitential season of Lent? Would that be allowed? Many trappings suffocate December 25th. Materialism, misplaced emphasis on a jovial man with flying reindeer, an animated snowman, so that the holy child in the manger gets all overlooked. Like Charlie Brown on the TV special, we find ourselves asking, doesn't anyone know what Christmas is all about? The collect for Annunciation so marvelously brings out the reason for Jesus' incarnation and birth at Christmas, tying together Christmas and Lent. As we have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the message of the angel, so by his cross and passion, we may be brought into the glory of his resurrection. As we meditate on today's gospel, let us consider, what if the angel had come to us? What would our reaction be? If the angel had come to us, would we be somewhat afraid? Mary was afraid. The angel who came to her to announce her pregnancy even had to tell her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." In her day, as an unmarried pregnant woman, besides the shame and gossip, she had to face the laws of the land, which stated that an adulteress was to be stoned to death. Her fiancé, Joseph, was also afraid. The movie The Nativity Story vividly portrays Joseph waking up in a cold sweat from a nightmare that Mary is being stoned to death by the people of Nazareth. In fact, Matthew records Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Joseph's fears were alleviated when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Mary had good reason to be afraid at the appearance of the angel. Not only can a sinful human being not stand in the presence of a holy God, but the appearance of God's holy angels in Scripture is frightening. Even the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night had to be told, "Fear not." Can we put ourselves into Mary's shoes? If we look at our thoughts, words, and deeds each day, we see that we have reason to be afraid, to be very afraid of the just and holy God because of our sins. But God does not leave us trembling in our fear and guilt. The angel dismissed Mary's fear by announcing to her God's grace. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. She has found grace, God's undeserved favor for the sake of Christ. God's grace is always found, never earned. We do not go out and work for it. God places it into our laps. God's grace in Christ removes our fears. It was for this purpose that Christ became incarnate in Mary's womb. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Secondly, if the angel had come to us, would we be amazed? The angel announced to Mary, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." How did Mary react to this announcement? Mary was utterly amazed that God's favor and grace had selected her, unworthy though she was beyond comprehension. Add to that the news that she was to be the mother of God's divine Son, that Savior first promised to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then there was that practical question to which she received an even more amazing answer. How will this be since I'm a virgin? The angel told her that this was a miracle from God. This child would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." What an incredible miracle. Her baby would be the Holy One. God taking upon himself a human nature to save the sinful human race from our sins. That is what the name Jesus means, after all, Savior. Can we put ourselves into Mary's shoes, asking our own questions of amazement? How will this be, we ask, when our sins, both old ones in which we slip so speedily and new ones which sneak upon us so stealthily, are declared washed clean by the blood of Christ? How will this be, we ask, when it seems as though we're abandoned and set adrift on the sea of life, yet we see the Lord Jesus walking toward us on top of the waves? How will this be, we ask, when mourning loved ones left beneath the grave's fresh mound, or as we day by day move toward the grave and we hear the risen Savior say, "Because I live, you also will live." The answer is still the same today. What the angel told Mary applies to us also. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Finally, if the angel had come to us, would we be willingly obedient? Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Though she couldn't understand, she believed and was willing to follow as God's lowly servant. Her humble faith wills what God wills and places herself into God's hands. Once more, can we put ourselves into Mary's shoes? When God's word comes to us with work to be done for him and lives to be lived for him, do we say, "I'm the Lord's servant"? How often we fall short of willing obedience. So often we ask, "Do I have to?" A disobedient child when he had been scolded by his mother, came minutes later running into her arms. Sobbing in repentance, he blurted out, "Mama, I'm sorry. I love you. I love you so much." Sweeping up her child and squeezing him close, his mother replied, "When you do as I say, then I know how much you really love me." Where we have failed in willing obedience to God, Jesus has perfectly succeeded. Because Christ was obedient for our sakes, even to the point of death, giving his very life for us, we will thank him by willing obedience. That is not easy. Not something we can do alone. With the psalmist David, we pray, "Grant me a willing heart to sustain me." God comes to us through his word and sacrament to give us the strength of faith to serve him in willing obedience. What if the angel had come to us? He hasn't, but the Christ child has. God grant us his Holy Spirit, that we too, as servants of the Lord, trust his word and promise, submit to him in humble obedience, laying hold upon Christ in true faith. Then we too shall profit from his holy, pure conception unto life eternal. Amen.